Shinzo Abe becomes Japan's longest-serving prime minister. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. Let's first head to the city of Dubai, where Boeing has won nearly $9 billion worth of plane orders at its air show. Now, that's pretty impressive, but not when compared to its European rival Airbus, which has signed $30 billion worth of deals over the last couple of days. The BBC's Middle East correspondent Samir Hashmi has been at the event and says the mood is subdued this year following the deadly crashes of Boeing 737 MAX jets.
Leisha, if you look at 2017, when the last edition of the Dubai Air Show took place, the deals that were signed were worth over $110 billion. This time, it doesn't look like they will reach anywhere close to that figure. Yes, there have been a couple of big deals, but nowhere close to what it was in 2017. The mood, rather, is a bit subdued this time around. Airlines are not that upbeat about the future.
Why are people so worried? Why the grim outlook?
A couple of reasons for that. Number one, airlines don't have the appetite to place fresh orders because there are already so many in the backlog. Number two, the passenger traffic has suffered also over the last 2-3 years. Lesser people have been flying. And then the trade war between China and US has also impacted the region. Remember, the Middle East is the hub for the global aviation. So flights from Asia connect to North America and Europe from here. In that sense, because airlines have been struggling, their profits have not gone up.
In 2017, Boeing 737 MAX was the star of the air show. But is anyone still buying the plane this year?
Surprisingly, on Tuesday, Air Astana announced a deal that it would be buying 30 737 Air MAX. So in that sense, really, it's a shot in the arm for Boeing, which has been using this event as an opportunity to reassure customers that it will be getting 737 MAX back. But other than that, no one has signed a 737 MAX.
The BBC's Samir Hashmi in Dubai. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are lower on concerns that trade talks between the US and China have stalled. Both the Shanghai Composite and Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed down 0.8%, while Australia's ASX has lost 1.4%. And over to Japan now, where 65-year-old Shinzo Abe has become the country's longest-serving leader, breaking a record which has stood for more than 100 years. He is credited with bringing political stability to Japan, but he is also famous for the ambitious economic program dubbed Abenomics. But has it been a success? The BBC's Marika Oi has been finding out.
Shinzo Abe would like us to talk about his economic achievements. His policies, known as Abenomics, were introduced 7 years ago. There were three so-called arrows: bold monetary easing, fiscal spending, and structural reforms. Here's the assessment of Japan analyst Nobuko Kobayashi.
On one hand, I think Abenomics can claim some macroeconomic success. The jobs have been created, the Nikkei average is up. But on the other hand, the structural reform, the so-called third arrow, is still a mixed bag. So the labor reform, gender equality issues, regional revitalization. This is still work in progress.
So how have investors reacted to Abenomics? These initiatives boosted stock prices. The Nikkei 225 more than doubled since he came back to power in December 2012. But there were many other factors, and it's also because the yen weakened, which makes Japan's exporters more competitive abroad. And despite years of fiscal spending and ultra-loose monetary policy, inflation has yet to reach the central bank's 2% target. And the concern about Japan's huge debt remains. Wages haven't grown either, so many people don't feel wealthier. If anything, some feel poorer because of hikes in the country's sales tax. And more importantly, it's left lawmakers little firepower against another downturn. I'm the BBC's Marie Goy for Marketplace.
Nearly 6 months of anti-government protests have rocked Hong Kong. Last night, the US Senate passed a bill that would subject the Chinese territory to an annual check of democratic freedoms. China hit back immediately, saying Washington was supporting extremists and violence in Hong Kong. The protesters themselves have laid out 5 key demands, including full democracy and an inquiry into police actions. Student Cher is one of them.
My name is Sharon, and I'm one of the protesters in Hong Kong movement right now. I am doing my postgraduate degree studies in Hong Kong U, and I'm 26. Hong Kong is my hometown. So that's why I think I should have a say, that I have to talk to the government because they can't do what they want. I understand that this is not desirable somehow. And the people will think, oh, I can't go to work. And then I will just risk myself in terms of financial burden in long run. But the thing is, if there is anything I can do about that, of course, I can cooperate with students because I'm just one of them. Actually, I've got some students who were forced to just leave their home by their parents because they've really, really different political views. And so I just let them stay in my place and then I offer them food and then Wi-Fi because they still have a connect to the world. None of the five demands talk about money, okay? We are not talking about housing problem or like unemployment issues, nothing about that. Of course, I'm scared, but then the thing is, if every one of us is scared and then if we don't go out, we can't achieve anything, just like the withdrawal of the exhibition bill, because you know, if we were scared in the first place, there wouldn't be anything done about that.
And that was 26-year-old student protester Cher speaking to us from Hong Kong. And tomorrow we'll be hearing from her mom. Don't forget you can download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher or marketplace.org. In London, I'm Lisa Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.